SEN America. This is the SEN MLB podcast.
And welcome to SEN Baseball. We're just about at that time of year where all playoff spots are locked. Most of them are locked right now. We're about 90% done, of course, with the divisions having been decided, but still a few wildcard spots to go. We're going to get to that as we go along. But joining me on today's show in studio, pushing all the buttons from SEN America team, is Xavier Player. Xavier, welcome.
Thank you very much, Fredo. How are you?
I'm good, mate. How are you?
Fantastic.
Great time of year. I know you're up and about with the dogs today.
I am.
Go dogs.
I'm on the bandwagon this week. I'm happy to say that. I live within a couple of kilometres of Witten Oval, and I've got to say, being inside the vortex of what's happening in that area this week,
yeah,
it's been phenomenal. It's been a completely different grand final experience than anything else I've ever witnessed.
Have you painted your house?
I've not painted my house. I've got some balloons up. I've seen a lot of painted houses in my area. I've put some balloons up. I'm not going to paint my house, though.
Were you part of the open training session that was held at the Witten Oval on, was it Thursday?
On Thursday morning. Yeah, I went down. It was, again, crazy. The dogs had advised on their website for people to catch the train. There's not a lot of parking around Witten Oval. I got off the train at Westwood Square. I reckon 500 people were getting off the train at the same time.
Yeah, right.
Just phenomenal. And you couldn't move inside the place.
It was, I did go to the big grand final breakfast on Thursday morning with the great Doug Hawkins, a big Footscray guy, and the tears were flowing red hot. I don't know if you saw the footy show Thursday night, but I think he cried all of Thursday because he had that going in the morning, all during the day, and then at night he was still crying. So he's a very happy man, and you know, hopefully for the dogs they can... Ford guys like Hawkins and long-time dog supporters, hopefully they can get up today.
Very big day today and could be the start of something special if they do manage to get up.
Oh, absolutely. But we have other things, other fish to fry here. We're on baseball time right now. And as I mentioned, the playoffs are just around the corner. The teams that we do have that have clinched right as we speak right now with, just let me roll the page, is we've got in the American League, Boston have won their division. Cleveland Indians have also won their division, along with the Texas Rangers. Interesting three teams there, of course. I know you're a mad Boston person. So honestly, try and be balanced here if you can, just for a moment. They got swept by the Yankees in this last series, but yes, we're still able to clinch a finals berth. Has the whole season been around David Price? Sorry, not David Price. I know he's sort of their ace going into the playoffs. I mean, David Ortiz. It's been so much about him. Have they just ridden that wave of David Ortiz and now going into the playoffs?
Yeah, I think they have. It's been a strange season because we'll go back to when David Price signed $219 million for 7 years. I believe that was $20 million more than anyone else offered him over that same length. And from when that contract was signed, a lot of Red Sox fans were very torn. Oh, it was either a great signing or a terrible signing. I was on the side of it being a terrible signing. I think for the money we spent, we could have spent it better.
Yep.
I think as an acquisition as a pitcher, he's a very good pitcher. Money not well spent. The big concern for me coming into the season was, do the Red Sox have the pitching to go deep? I thought they were going to win 75 games this year. Was not expecting much.
Yep.
Nobody expected Ortiz to have the year he's had. He's broken every record in the book for someone in their last season.
Yeah, phenomenal, isn't it?
And now going into the playoffs, you've got to wonder, they've done it so far, can they keep it going? But I see one big roadblock when it comes to the playoffs.
And What's that?
The Chicago Cubs.
They're a roadblock to everybody.
We'll get to them because they are a roadblock for everyone. Look, I think making the playoffs and winning one playoff series would be a good year for the Red Sox.
Right, okay. Of course, as I mentioned there, Price, the ace of the lineup there with Ortiz, the big bat, they won 92 games. So they really have had a great year. But in the American League Central, of course, Cleveland Indians have come out with a win there. They've suffered some injury woes as the season goes along, but... it looks like they'll probably go in with Kluber as their ace through that. And Jose Ramirez has had a pretty good year at third base for the Cleveland Indians.
Another year of things being unexpected. I don't think any Indians fan in April would have said, we can win this division. We're looking at a division that has the team who won the World Series last year, a Detroit Tigers team who are always thereabouts.
Yep.
That's a very tough division to win. People talk about the AL East being the toughest division to win, but I think that undersells what's in the Central a bit. And I think that if it wasn't for the pitching injuries that have popped up with the Indians, they'd be a force to be reckoned with as well. Unfortunately, they're probably going to fall a little short, though.
Probably everybody's going to fall short until we get to the Cubs.
Oh, yeah.
We've got some stuff on them. So, but in the AL West is the Texas Rangers. They've fought their way to division title there with 94 wins on the season to this point. Still one series to go before the season actually ends. But on the Texas side of things, Cole Hamels just keeps getting it done, left-hander for them. And Elvis Andres has been probably their best bat during the season. So Texas, you got to give them 94 wins as a good number. They've got to be in with a chance.
They do. A good year in a bad division, though, as far as I'm concerned.
Still 94 wins.
Absolutely. You've got to win.
You've got to win. It's the second most wins in Major League Baseball. So they've got to be in with a chance for sure. We'll move to the NL now and the National League East. The Washington Nationals have won that NL East there. The Nats, of course, they've got a few pitchers that they could pick and choose from. Probably Max Scherzer's the pick of the bunch from the Nationals, but they do have some woes now with Strasburg having problems and Wilson Ramos having some problems.
They do. I feel that the Nationals are a franchise who are just waiting to make that leap forward. We know that they're going to make the playoffs on a regular basis, but we're yet to see that success in the playoffs that fans are starting to expect.
Yep. Dan Murphy's probably been the best bat of the lineup, and Bryce, how's my hair, Harper. He hasn't had quite the year that some would have expected. He's got MVP sort of talent, there is no doubt about it, but not quite this year.
Now, sorry, before we move on, I want to talk Murphy for a bit, because he signed Christmas Day last year with the Nationals after spending a lot of time with the Mets organization. The Mets organization currently find themselves 8 games behind the Nationals and eliminated. Yep. I am happy to go out on a limb and say those 8 games, that 8 game swing is made up by Murphy. And the fact that he has gone to Washington, so not only has he taken... He's added something to the Nationals lineup, but I think more importantly, he's taken something away from a lineup that made the World Series last year.
Absolutely. But just to sort of try and balance this stuff out as best we can, the Mets are still in there with a wild card chance, so they could still be in the playoffs. Where's last year's World Series champions?
Eliminated for the fourth straight year in a row this year that the previous year's world champions haven't made the playoffs.
That's Kansas City Royals, of course.
Kansas City, San Fran, the Red Sox, and San Fran.
Yeah, they're nowhere to be seen this time round. So at least the Mets might back up and lock down a playoff spot. But as I said, there's still one series to go, and that's a tight race. We'll get through these division winners first. That's Washington done there with probably Dan Murphy and Max Scherzer, the pick of the bunch there. Now, you have written down here, I've come to the Cubs. Cubs, of course, the NL Central division. They won it a couple of months ago. But on the Cubs side of thing, the notable players, everyone. What is that? What do you mean by everyone?
Well, the Cubs had won the division in the second week of May. So from that perspective, you're right. They've had it wrapped up for a while. I don't see any way at the moment that anybody can beat the Cubs. No injury, great management, well-oiled machine, playoff experience from being there last year, 100-game winners, the only team to win 100 games in the majors this year.
Yeah,
there's nothing that I look at with the Cubs and go, that's going to be too much for them. Last year, there was the talk of, they might get a bit overawed by the playoff experience, and I think that was a contributing factor when they got swept by the Mets.
Yeah.
Some people would argue, if they make the World Series, the same thing's going to happen. There's the old adage, if you've got to win one to lose one to win one.
Yeah.
I think the experience from last year and the lessons learnt from last year, particularly with Joe Maddon, who was a fantastic manager,
yeah,
and perfectly suited for that group, the lessons they learnt last year are going to be enough to get them across the line this year.
We are going to speak with SEN, our very own Brendan Wilson, former Anaheim Angel. He's going to be on after the break just to give us a bit more comprehensive breakdown of this playoffs in a few moments' time. But just to finish this one off, the NL West, of course, the Dodgers have won that one there. Corey Seager's probably been the pick of the bats for the Dodgers through this year. And, of course, their ace for the last few years, Clayton Kershaw, has been phenomenal, and one of the great signings that they did get was Kenta Maeda, who was formerly an ace with Samurai Japan over in NPB, was a number one starter over there, signed with the Dodgers, and has proved, I think he's not literally a rookie. I mean, he's played 10 years in the Japanese professional leagues, but of course in the States they'll call you a rookie when you turn up for the first time. And Kenta Maeda has broken rookie records for the Dodgers this year with his pitching. He's been terrific for them.
Another factor for mine for the Dodgers that have really helped them this year is Dave Roberts has had a stellar first year as manager.
Yep.
He came in, Dodgers fans weren't sure what to think. Oh, no experience. Yes, he was a great player, but is he the right guy for the job?
Yep.
And I think he's proven himself that he can be. He's got that way of looking at the game where he can get results.
Yep. So we got the six division winners there, we've just sort of briefly touched on, but then it comes down to the wild card is the interesting piece, of course, as I said, with a series to go now. And leading the way in the American League is the Baltimore Orioles. They're currently tied with the Toronto Blue Jays in first place there for that wild card spot. And Baltimore are playing the Yankees in this final series, and the Toronto Blue Jays playing the Boston Red Sox in their final series. So that's going to be a tight one coming down. As I said, both square right now at 87 wins and 72 losses, both Baltimore and Toronto. How do you see that one falling?
Just want to quickly run over both of those teams. I'll start with the Orioles. The Orioles, for me, have had, I think, the year that a lot of people would have expected them to. They were up there, they challenged for a while, they didn't quite have enough to solidify that challenge. They fell away in the last month and a half. But I also think that probably expectation is a little above reality in Baltimore. They have the expectation that they're going to be a World Series winning team. They have not won a World Series in over 30 years.
Yeah.
Only one team wins it a year, and they haven't had enough experience in big games or in big playoff series to be at that point yet. So expectation, reality is slightly distorted there. Toronto probably had that same thing happen to them last year. Whereas this year, I think if they go into a one-game playoff against Baltimore, they'll be fully confident after what happened in the playoffs last year. I think that, again, we talked about it with the Cubs, that experience that Toronto have will help them this year.
With Baltimore, of course, I just think there's been too much reliance just on, say, Trumbo and Davis to hit driving the runs. There's a lot of reliance there. And
they're a home run hitting team, and that's not the way that you win a division. It's not the way you make playoffs. You've got to be able to hit home runs, but you've also got to be able to drive guys in using the small ball, hitting the ball along the ground, stealing bases, things like that. Also, I think Buck Showalter is probably getting to that point where his tenure is needing to come to an end because what he's doing is becoming stale, and that's hurting the Orioles in their results.
Yeah, for sure. In the other wild card race, of course, the New York Mets are hoping to get back to the playoffs. They're currently in first place, and in this final series, they'll be playing the Philadelphia Phillies. The Mets are a game clear of the San Francisco Giants. The Giants will be taking on the LA Dodgers in their final series. And the other team that is there is these four wild card positions here available, but there's one, two, three, four. There's like five teams fighting for two spots, essentially.
Yes.
The St. Louis Cardinals are not out of it. They're only a game behind, and they take on the Pittsburgh Pirates in their final series as well. So Mets in front over San Francisco with the Cardinals there or thereabouts. Where do you see that one falling?
I think the Mets will clinch the first wild card, and I think that San Fran will get enough done against the Dodgers this week, and Pittsburgh will be able to play spoiler against St. Louis. Mets and Giants in the wild card game.
We're going to go to a break right now. We're going to come back with Brendan Wilson, going to give us a little bit more with regards to the playoffs, which are just around the corner. So stick with us. You're on SEN Baseball.
Baseball is the largest spectator sport in the world. In 2015 alone, over 73 million people attended professional games in the United States, with 65 million people playing in over 100 countries around the world. Baseball is the world's second largest participation sport. Baseball is truly a game that everyone can enjoy. It's free to try and cheap to play, but most importantly, it's fun for all. From T-ball and Little League to seniors and masters, for the young and the young at heart, baseball is the perfect game for boys and girls, and moms and dads too. With over 105 local clubs in Victoria, get started by going to www.baseballvictoria.com.au to see how you can get involved today.
And welcome back to SEN Baseball. Now going to, of course, this time of year, all the playoffs are starting to get locked in. We're getting down to it now. Teams that have clinched playoff spots at this time: Boston, Cleveland, Texas, Washington, Cubs, Dodgers. And we're still looking at wild card places, but on the phone now we're going to the SEN America MLB expert, former Anaheim Angel, Brendan Wilson. Will, are you there, mate?
I am. Good morning.
How are you?
I'm excited. I'm excited because we've got four wildcard spots and seven teams fighting for them.
Yeah, it's a big time of year. I did mention teams that have clinched right now. Of course, last week on the show you were here in studio, but the Cubs had clinched along with, I think it was Texas and maybe the Indians. But during the week now, of course, Boston clinched this week, getting swept by the Yankees, but still able to clinch a playoff spot.
What a bizarre situation to get swept but still end up clinching your division. An amazing division, that too. Four teams over 500, winning percentage over 500. Just goes to show that AL East really did live up to its expectations that it had been for probably about 5 years ago. For the previous 15 years before that, it really had those teams always fighting it out until the end. And we've had that again. Unfortunately, it's not the Yankees on top, though.
You say unfortunately. I didn't know you were a soft spot for the Yankees, mate.
I've always had a soft spot for the Yankees. They were my first team. El Duque, Orlando Hernandez, is why I was an Andy Pettit as well, obviously, the life of the Yankee. But, yeah, they were the two that always got me. I remember my opening the Herald Sun newspaper and seeing a picture of Orlando Hernandez, El Duque. He had the big left kick. He was the right-handed Latino player, the massive leg kick, almost kneed himself in the head.
I remember El Duque. I can't believe the Herald Sun had a photo of him.
He was in the Herald Sun when the World Series was on. It was amazing. I think because the picture was so extreme that he looked like he was trying to knock himself out while throwing a pitch.
Yeah.
And from that point on, I obviously, because I was the first team I ever knew of was the Blue Jays because of Palm Beach where I started playing. So. I got the Yankees just on the back of some of the actual players, and then obviously learned a lot about the Yankees and so forth along the way, and got a soft spot for the Angels. I probably follow players more than anything, but anyway, that's a different story. Look, I think what we've seen is just the right teams have clinched. You can't say much for St. Louis when they couldn't catch the Cubs, but they're thereabouts to still get in there. You can't say much for San Francisco, but they're thereabouts, and who knows, with the wild card, they could still win their third even year series in a row as such. And I think you can state a case for just about every team, but the way I've been looking at it is that let's look at what's going to happen in the World Series. I think what is going to happen is it's going to be Boston, Chicago, and I work back from there. And you really start to pick apart some of these teams about why they won't go all the way. But it's going to be very exciting, that's for sure.
Willow, the Red Sox have shown that they can bring everything together at the one time, but there's still that worry that they don't have enough pitching to go deep into the playoffs. You're suggesting they'll make the World Series against the Cubs. What do you see in their pitching stocks that tells you they can go all the way?
Well, I see that they're going to get there because they're going to beat Cleveland, because Cleveland have their two best pitchers on the DL. So if I look at it that way, Boston's offense is just too strong, so Cleveland will lose that. So Boston, I believe, will beat Cleveland. I think if Baltimore get in, they'll beat Texas.
Yep.
If it's Toronto, Texas, I'm really unsure. And then I look at those three teams versus Boston. Baltimore have the best firepower. Toronto has too many holes with too many, like their best, what should be their best hitter is now their leadoff because he can't hit anything other than a fastball in Jose Bautista. So they've got holes that I believe Boston don't. Boston hit 290 as a team. They're just rock solid offensively, and they've got enough experience to get through pitching wise. Rick Pasallo has been outstanding this year. David Price has been mediocre, probably going to step up on the big stage. He has done that. His playoff stats aren't bad, as much as everyone would say they are. And if anyone saw Stephen Wright's knuckleball yesterday, if he gets a spot to throw in the playoffs, then they're going to be okay with three pretty good starters. He threw a knuckleball yesterday that moved about eight inches left to right after going right to left out of his hand. It was ridiculous.
Willow, the Nationals is one I was wanting to look at. They've clinched a spot, of course. But Wilson Ramos gone down, tears his ACL. during the week or earlier on. Their pitching stocks seem to be a little thin also, with Strasburg having problems.
Correct. That's exactly right. I mean, they've got there, but they're going to find it really tough. They've got a really underdone Bryce Harper, who's not having his best year. But again, he can come out of that slump. He could get hot for 10 games and hit 15 home runs. So they might be able to replace that. They're catching Gavin Wilson Ramos. Obviously, he's a clubhouse leader. They love what he does. So they, they'll really miss him. They've got a couple of okay replacements, but no one that's got the bat that he has. So that's a big hole to fill, especially in the National League when you've only got the 8 hitters. So to get through your first couple of series. And their pitching is the biggest issue. No Strasburg again. I mean, they're still saying that he may come back, but even if he does, he's going to be underdone as well. So look, they're a big question mark, but they have a very deep lineup. So they're not deep enough to beat the Cubs, but then potentially deep enough to get past the Dodgers.
Willow, I want to look at the National League wild card for a second. At the moment, we've got the Mets and the Giants in the wild card places. St. Louis are a game behind, so they're still right in there. If the Mets get through, this is the most interesting one for me. They made the World Series last year, didn't perform to the expectations that were set by the organization during the World Series. Do you think that experience can help them make a run if they hang on to a wild card place?
Yeah, I mean, if is the first question. Quickly on that, I mean, they've got to get past Madison Bumgarner, and that's probably going to be the toughest challenge they'll face. I mean, the Mets have had their issues with just pitching all year. They've just not been able to get five healthy starters consistently. If they get there, they've got the pitching depth to get in there. They're a proven, well-rounded ball club. They're like if the Cubs are a 10 out of 10 on being well-rounded, the Mets are about an 8. They're actually they're a very good baseball team. They just haven't performed with some injuries and so forth, and the Cubs have been beneficial not to have them. If the Mets can hold on, they will have a lot of experience, and they have some depth, but they're really going to struggle if those starting pitchers fail, if their starting pitchers can't get through the 5 or 6 because their bullpen's not deep enough to help them survive a 5-game set.
That's with Harvey. Their pitching's depleted. Harvey's out. DeGrom's out.
Yep. And Wheeler didn't throw a pitch for the whole year.
And Matt's as well.
Has been good. And Matt's is out. Matt's looks like he's done for the year with a bone spur as well. So, I mean, they've still got Thor, Noah Syndergaard, Bartolo's there. Look, they've got some good other guys that you'd like names that I don't know, but I see the names, I read the stats, and the guy throws 6 shutout, and you're like, who the hell is this guy?
Yeah.
So they've got guys that can do it, and they're very deep in their pitching, but they don't have the experienced guys that you want to take into a postseason.
Sure.
So they go in very underdone, but experienced. Those guys are still around the clubhouse teaching those younger guys what to do. So they've got every chance. I think the team that if St. Louis do scrape in, I think they're the most underrated team, but also don't want them to win because I don't like them. They don't play favors in baseball. It's not good to watch, I don't think. But if they get in, they're so good at this playoff game. Like they know how to win in the playoffs. So it's a scary thought that they could get in with a wild card, sneak through, and then do some damage to some of the best teams. Although the Cubs did embarrass them a few times this year.
Willow, we're almost out of time here, but 2 quick ones before we wrap it up. One, does Terry Francona managing the Indians help them in the playoffs, even though they have a depleted staff at the moment?
100%. Any experience is always going to help, and Terry has, I mean, he took a team that couldn't win, couldn't get out of their division, let alone get to a World Series to win one. He knows how to get there. He had the issues there. They rode a wave of miraculous things to win. So he knows that these things can happen. Hopefully Kluber can come back for him. It was only a 7 to 10 days, so he might be okay. And then they're really only down one starter, and they could sneak through. They're doing great things as a team. They probably have the best team mentality. The Cubs, I think, have the best morale. But from the standpoint of not having the standout players, Cleveland have the best team environment. And they've got every chance led by Tito to get through.
And last one, just quickly, you predict a Red Sox-Cubs World Series. Who do you see winning that?
I can't go past the Cubs, to be honest. I'd like to see the fairy tale for Big Puppy. I'm a baseball fan, and I just want to see good baseball. But the Cubs are just unbelievable. three amazing starters, and then you got, sorry, then I'll just throw in Jason Hamill as my number four. Like, are you kidding me with the numbers they're putting up? And then their lineup, their hitting lineup, they've got four MVP caliber guys, and they hit 1 through 12, and they can only put 8 in their roster, in the lineup at any one time. They have an amazing depth. They've got Joe Maddon, the whiz, the out there thinker. You know, he's the Heston of baseball. He's crazy, and he knows how to piece together these things. And I think that he's got the right players, the recipe, the time, the talent, and the experience in the pitching staff and then the depth in the hitting to pull that team together. If Chris Bryant doesn't fire, he's got three other guys that he can get in there straight away to get going. Or if Harvey Baez or Addison Russell, if one of them doesn't do something, there's two other guys that can jump in straight away, and Joe Maddon will not hesitate in making a change like he's done all year. And that's the reason they'll get through.
Good work, Willow. Appreciate it, mate. We're out of time now, so we're going to have to let you go. But I'm pretty sure that's the first time a baseball manager's ever been compared to Heston Blumenthal.
It's always good to mix something up. But Joe Maddon is literally crazy.
I understand your analogy, mate. It's actually a good one and spot on.
You've got to have a crack sometimes.
Yep. As long as he doesn't dry ice his players, I think we'll be okay, mate.
Absolutely.
But appreciate your time this morning. Thanks very much. Comprehensive as always. And good luck. We'll speak to you soon.
Look forward to covering off next week. Thanks, guys.
Good on you, mate.
Warwick Softball with the Detroit Tigers, and you're listening to SEN Baseball.
And welcome back to the real SEN Baseball. Thanks to Warwick Southpole there over in the US plying his trade. Some sad news did happen during the week. The funeral was actually held yesterday or Thursday our time, but Jose Fernandez from the Miami Marlins sadly passing away due to a boating accident of sorts with some friends. But we do have some audio here, and this is from Afternoons with Andy Maher. This is the Miami Marlins president, Dave Sampson. Here's what he had to say about the passing of Jose Fernandez.
Sport is remarkable, and sporting clubs are phenomenal places at times. And the sadness and the tragedy of the loss of Jose Fernandez at the Miami Marlins has seen a club unite and come out and win a game of baseball the next time they come out and play at their home park. They beat the New York Mets today 7-3. Their president, Dave Sampson, who's a great friend of this program, on a really difficult day, I'm sure, has been good enough to give us a few minutes of his time. Dave, thanks for joining us. And on behalf of everybody who listens to this show and this radio station, our condolences to you and your club and, of course, the family of Jose Fernandez. It must have been a hell of a week.
Thank you. It's been a god-awful day. There's no other way to describe it. And a day that will never be forgotten in Miami history, not just sports, but the emotion of what it is to have lost Jose Fernandez. It's unspeakable. I can't even believe that we're doing an interview talking about the death of Jose Fernandez.
No,
I literally cannot believe it.
No, I bet you cannot. I mean, this guy was he meant so much already, and what he was likely to be able to do, who knows? I mean, he's the people that some of the early kind of obits about what lay in front of this young man. I mean, he was going to be a transcendent player. He was going to be really important.
It's not just that, actually, and it's about what he was as a man. I mean, yeah. He was the face of so many Cuban Americans. He was the face of people trying to get freedom when they couldn't get it and couldn't have it. He was the face of someone who tried three times to get to America, tried to fight and had to go to prison as a teen, had to save his mother from the water just to get out of an oppressive dictatorship like Cuba and Fidel Castro, and he did it. And what he represented was way more than a baseball player. He represented freedom. And one of the last things Jose ever said to me, and we talked about it all the time, was that I couldn't understand freedom because I was born into it. He had to fight for it. And I cannot imagine that we're having this conversation.
Dave, when you're sitting there tonight and you see D. Gordon hit a home run, you know, in the first innings, and he comes back to your bullpen, and comes back to your dugout, and you see the reaction amongst the players that you saw waiting for D. Gordon, what does that tell you about your club?
You know, it's we all take so much for granted, and sometimes you don't think about things until they happen. These boys became men today, and they're trying to figure out how to move forward and how to handle this the unthinkable, and no one knows what to do. No one knows what to say. We don't know when we're supposed to cry or laugh or tell stories, or we don't know what we don't. None of us knows what to do. And there's a whole community grieving and mourning, and we're trying to make the right decisions, and we're trying to do what we think is right in a sea of uncertainty. We're trying to steer a ship, and it's been a difficult couple of days.
When you get home tonight, what's it, you know, can you imagine what you're going to be thinking and feeling when you get home tonight?
I'm going to be thinking about Jose's parent, mother and grandmother, and the fact that they go to bed now every night without a son and a grandson. And for us, we're just trying to run a baseball team and trying to honor the legacy of a man. And I think about the senseless loss, the absolute senseless, surreal loss of life. I find it to be so unfortunate and so unspeakable.
Dave, you've got a lot of friends over here. Given, you know, your contributions that you made to this show and this radio station, and the love of everyone listening right now goes to you and the family and everybody involved in your baseball club. We really appreciate you.
Thank you.
Good on you.
I love you guys, and I love doing the show, and I really prefer to be jocular. I just don't feel like it tonight. But you know what? We'll be back to normal for the next show, and we'll review movies, and because the show goes on, and you just try to find a way to have it move forward, and that's all we're doing over here in Miami. But thank you so much for tonight's call.
There's a time and a place for all of that. Thanks for coming on, Dave Sampson, the president of the Miami Marlins. What a tragic week it has been for them with the loss of that bright light, Jose Fernandez.
And as you could hear there in the voice of Miami Marlins president Dave Sampson, just the sadness that it has produced over there in Miami. This guy was a legit big league pitcher. He'd only been up there 4 years, but his record of 38-17 win-loss, ERA at 2.58. He'd struck out 589 hitters, was a winner of Rookie of the Year back in 2013, All-Star in 2013-2016, was drafted 14th overall in the 2011 draft. Sad events happen over there in the US.
Yeah, just a horrible thing to happen to anyone. And I think with the baseball fraternity being as close as it is, not only in terms of organizations, but fan bases, it's something that's been really felt across the whole game. I've got the MLB app on my phone, like so many fans, and waking up and seeing those notifications, you think, hang on, this has got to be some sort of error.
Yeah, no, it was no error. It turned out to be an absolute tragedy, but we are going to move on. You know, sad times over there, and a lot of respect. Hats off to the Miami Marlins for the way they handled it. All the teams, the entire roster wore number 16 with Fernandez on the back, and there was a lot of congratulations to the New York Mets, who also had to endure that series against Miami, and just the way they handled it. There was a lot of tipping of the caps all the way to everybody involved. Sad state of affairs, but we do move on anyway. And from the Australian point of view, of course, this week doesn't happen too often, but one every now and then the planets align. Peter Moylan, of course, a pitcher with the Kansas City Royals, he came up against James Beresford. Beresford with the Minnesota Twins got called up to the big leagues probably about 3 weeks ago or so now, but the first time that Beresford got to face the pitcher Peter Moylan, and here's some audio from that.
Rolled out to Cuthbert. Round one goes to Moylan.
Round one, Peter Moylan. Now, hopefully, you know, you'd like to see these guys face each other for 10 years. I can't see it happening due to just the way the world does turn and baseball changes the way they roll. But tremendous for the two Aussies. I'm sure they had a little smile to each other, and even Moylan might have said, I'll just dish this first one straight down the middle for you, buddy.
Now, I'm just going to put my conspiracy theorist hat on here for a minute. You know, it's a hat I enjoy wearing at times for it.
Made out of tin foil, but
absolutely.
We'll go with my tin foil hat here.
Let's now, go. On the Melbourne Aces Facebook page, there was video of that at bat, and then, you know, their rivals today, they're going to be teammates come November.
Yeah.
Is that a sneaky way of the Aces announcing a signing?
That's sort of them just tossing some burly. Probably they have already announced Moylan as the pitching coach, and he has, you know, he's already stated that he won't pitch the first half of the year. Will probably come up after Christmas, after New Year, leading into the World Baseball Classic, which comes up in 2017. And, of course, Israel won that final place. We'll go through those groups in a few moments' time. But the final of that was last week. Israel defeated Great Britain by a score of 9-1 in that. But they have already announced Moylan. The Beresford side of things, that hasn't been announced. Also, I think there's got to be a few things happen in the off-season to actually confirm that. I wouldn't see it as a lock right now, but it is a clever way of social media just tossing up the possibilities of James Beresford pulling on an Aces uniform.
Going to go back to the WBC for a second, with Israel winning that last qualifier in Brooklyn last weekend. All four groups are set. So just to run through the pools, Pool A, we've got Japan, Australia, China and Cuba. So it's going to be a tough fight for Australia to make the knockout stage for the first time.
Absolutely.
Pool B, we've got South Korea, Chinese Taipei, the Netherlands and Israel. I look at South Korea and the Netherlands as being the two who are going to advance from that group.
I would think so, yes.
Pool C, we've got the US, Canada, Colombia and the Dominican Republic.
That's a tough one there.
Logic would say the US and the Dominican Republic, but I don't see a weak team out of those four.
I don't see a weak one out of those four. The last Dominican Republic team that I did see was very, very underdone and not up to it, but when it comes round to this World Baseball Classic, they really do get the best of the best. So that will be a tough one, but I am also leaning towards the US and Dominican Republic.
And then the last pool is Mexico, Italy, Puerto Rico and Venezuela, which will still be a tightly contested pool, but probably the easiest of the four pools.
Yes, when you say easiest, you know, Mexico's legit. They can Italy have really become a great team since this World Baseball Classic has been around three or four times now at the incarnation. Puerto Rico's tough, Venezuela. That, to me, that's one of the tougher ones. I'm leaning towards Mexico and Venezuela myself, but you never quite know what you're going to get with Puerto Rico, Italy.
No, you really don't. And another thing that I saw coming out of that WBC qualifier last weekend in Brooklyn, and we touched on it briefly with the Pakistani women's team from the World Cup, just the sheer joy at the fact they're in such a major tournament.
Yeah.
You got that same message from the manager of the men's team talking about how hard his father worked to bring baseball to Pakistan and the hard work that he's done to get guys playing, the fact they're playing on soccer pitches, there's not one baseball diamond in Pakistan. So nobody expected them to win that qualifier. In fact, I think the results that were expected were the results that came through, but
Absolutely. Still
a fantastic effort to get to that point. And I think that's one of the best things about the WBC is you see teams coming through. 4 years ago, it was Brazil.
Yeah.
New Zealand nearly qualified. That would have been great for them. Obviously, with the qualification structure changing this time, New Zealand didn't make the final of the qualifier in Sydney, but some really good opportunities. And I think if long term it gets slightly expanded, we could see some real growth in international baseball.
Oh, this is what it's all about. This is what the WBC was all about. The idea was tossed up because baseball was yo-yoing in and out of the Olympics. So they wanted to put on this world-class tournament that they were in control of and could run. And now they have expanded it to the point where, you know, Great Britain, they were in the final against Israel and had a chance to be a part of it. You mentioned New Zealand. It gives these countries an opportunity to play against the best on the planet. And now, you know, these teams that have missed out, be the Great Britain, be New Zealand, South Africa, the Philippines had a go at the qualifier here. They go away now and get 4 years to practice and get better, and sooner or later they will get into the World Baseball Classic, and I think it's tremendous for the growth of the game around the planet.
You talk about the greatest on the planet, and one of the greats of baseball broadcasting is only a couple of games shy of retirement after a 67-year career in the same job.
Well, I think he's done. Isn't he done? Because it was the last home series.
No, I think he's got one more game. I think he's doing the season final.
Really?
Yes.
Well, that's something new to me. But the great Vin Scully, of course, you're talking about. 67 years of broadcasting. Phenomenal effort by the great Vin Scully. And we do have a little bit of audio from that last Dodger series from the great Vin Scully.
I'm terribly embarrassed. I was hoping the team would win the game 10-0. There'd be no tension, and it would be a nice, easy day. Because I have a very, very small, modest contribution, on my last day. I have always felt that you folks in the stands have been far, far important to me. You have given me enthusiasm. You have given me young at heart. Believe me when I tell you, I've needed you far more than you needed me. True, true, true. Anyway, I wanted to try and express my appreciation to all the players, God bless them, and to all you folks here in the ballpark. It's a very, very modest thing. I sang this for my wife. It was a loving gesture. You know the song, The Wind Beneath My Wings. And that's what you are. You're the wings beneath the team's wings. You're the team beneath my wing. So I know it's modest. I know it's an amateur. Do you mind listening?
And we decided to cut it off because I couldn't think of a worse song that the great Vin Scully is going to go out with, but he comes up with The Wind Beneath My Wings. I couldn't believe that's the song he chose to go out with.
He is full of surprises, Mr. Scully, and he's always been very understated in everything he's done. It's never been about him. It's always been about the team. It's always been about the sport. And you could even tell through that speech there, he wasn't focused on everything he's achieved in the last 67 years.
Yeah.
He knows how lucky he is to have held that job for 67 years.
Absolutely.
And I think that gratitude was really reflected in that speech.
There is no doubt. I just, myself personally, I thought he would have had something better prepared. He's had 67 years to prepare something, or at least this year, which was announced as his final year. You'd think he would have actually prepared something, but to go out with Wind Beneath My Wings, what a lame-o song.
Yeah, each to their own, Fritter, each to their own.
That's lame-o.
As he said, he sang it to his wife early in their married life, so it obviously means something to him. So,
yeah.
So you know what? Credit where credit's due for that.
This is a guy, you know, he called Hank Aaron's record-breaking home run, called the great Kirk Gibson's walk-off home run.
The Buckner play.
The Buckner play. I mean, he's had some epic, epic moments. Wind Beneath My Wings? Really?
Well, as I said, each their own. Look, it's been another big show for us, and a lot's happened this week in baseball.
Absolutely.
And
the playoffs to come.
And the playoffs to come. Going to be huge this time next week. Wild card games will be out of the way, and we'll have our division series matchups set.
Yep, they'll all be set and ready to go. But just on some little housekeeping stuff, the ABL, of course, is just around the corner. There were some more signings. I went through some of the signings last week, but we'll just keep you up to date with them as we go. The Adelaide Bite, of course, Angus Roger, Steve Chambers, and Stephen Welsh have signed to play there. From the Brisbane Bandits, they announced some this week. Logan Wade will be playing with them. Justin Erasmus coming back. Andrew Campbell coming back. Reese Nitt will be coming back. And Mitch Nilsson was also announced this week as being part of the Brisbane Bandits. Nobody from the Cavalry. The Melbourne Aces, of course. Brad Harmon, Darryl George, Pete Moylan, Mike Walker, Josh Davies, and according to my tin cap wearing offsider here, James Beresford may have been just throwing a little carrot out there to tempt us, but he may have signed with them. We'll see. Nobody from the Heat, nobody from the Blue Sox as yet, but we'll keep you up to speed as that goes along.
And yeah, it's going to be a good year. There's some great names coming through and some great names signing, so hopefully we do see that standard bump up that little bit more this year. Lots of Australian players coming back because they want to play in the WBC in 2017. Their opportunity to play in front of Deeble. And
what does that do for the league next year, though?
I don't know. I honestly think that they need to capitalize hard this year. And I'm sure they've got things in the pipeline. What those things are, I'm not sure of.
Wouldn't you think you'd like tell somebody?
Oh, I would think you definitely would tell somebody. Another interesting point from baseball this week. We briefly talked about Tebow Mania last
week.
And Tim Tebow facing his first pitch in Instructional League. See you later. rounds the bases.
To me, it instantly, what it does, it instantly justifies what the Mets have done by making this signing, because what it does is ticket sales for that instructional league, merchandise for with Tebow's name on it. It justifies them taking a punt on this guy straight away. Hasn't swung a bat in baseball for 11 years, but shows what sort of athlete he is. The first pitch he sees in a competitive game, he hits for a home run. And this is the real notable thing that a lot of people just sort of let slide. He goes opposite field.
Yeah, it's a good point.
That shows unbelievable power. For anybody to hit one the other way, you've got to be strong.
Yes.
So when he actually gets his bat speed up and can pull the ball, we'll see some 400, 450-foot home runs from this guy. But for him to go the other way on the first home run that he hits on the first pitch that he sees in instructional league, that's a pretty good effort.
Oh, a very good effort indeed. And that's pretty much all we've got time for this week, Fred. It's been a big show, though.
You done with us?
Oh, no, but we're reaching that time, and we've crossed a lot off the list. But there is one thing that we're going to run with just before we go to our close.
Yes,
in the spirit of the day, of course.
Yes, I've just got to say some thanks. Thanks to yourself, your good self, Saviour, for being here today. Brendan Wilson for getting on and giving us a little MLB update. But it is a big day, and we've both got some functions we've got to get to later on today. So we're going to cut the show now and move on. But big day with playoff baseball about to be set. But from here in Melbourne, this is SEN Baseball, and go Doggies.
Thanks for listening to the SEN MLB podcast. For more SEN America podcasts, head to sen.com.au. To keep up to date with the latest American sports news and interviews from around SEN, follow SEN America on Twitter at SEN America and on Facebook at facebook.com/SEN America.